Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and John Osher.
Hey, Johnny O will be along momentarily from Jaguars.com. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Glad you're with us. Hope you survived the weekend. Not everybody did. Hopefully you didn't try to set off any fireworks on your head. Rest in peace to the idiot who did that in Maine. So sorry to say, natural selection at its finest, Tony, kicking in. I trust you had a outstanding July 4th weekend.
I enjoyed my July 4th weekend, yeah.
Did you go fireworking, or
no,
what did you do?
Friday I went out and did basically any of the holiday stuff I was going to do. Saturday and Sunday, I didn't leave the house. Saturday or Sunday, it was kind of nice. But Friday went out, saw Terminator with my mom, and then
thumbs up, thumbs down. What do you got?
It's a thumb sideways.
Sideways. All right.
It's not good. I the new Terminator is not good. It's not terrible. It's a Terminator movie. So if you like Terminator movies, go see Terminator. Would be my recommendation. I did go out. I met some friends to watch the men's soccer game against Guatemala on Friday night, and then wound up back at the theater. Believe it or not, I was ringing in the July 4th the way that I've rung in most of this summer, watching Mad Max Fury Road.
Unbelievable. Seriously.
So when the clock struck midnight, I was in Mad Max Fury Road.
Some would say, in parentheses, pathetic.
But
what is that, 7, 8 times? How many times?
Eight times
you've seen this movie.
And I will buy it the day that it comes out on Blu-ray to watch it probably a couple more times that day. And then Saturday, I had a friend or two over. We did July 4th at my place. I don't have a grill, so they got there, and I was like, you know, I can't grill.
You can't grill out in your community.
Right. I was like, I got to basically, if we're doing burgers, we're doing them on the stovetop. I can do burgers on the stovetop. That's the option you got if you come over here. They're like, that's fine, and they were awesome, actually, the way everything
worked
out.
You can't grill out in your community?
They won't let us have a grill.
Hi, Johnny O. How
are you? Is that even legal in Florida? Is that kind of a rule?
You would think that is highly illegal. Right. I think he may live on an Indian reservation. It may not actually
There's
be state
There's a state law that you can't have that law.
I wouldn't think that you're allowed to be able to stand in the way of a man in his barbecue grill. Did you have a nice July 4th weekend?
Yeah, it was great. It was great. We went out to party at the beach for a little while, and then a party over at my sister-in-law's friends in Arlington. So it was a good... It was a good, good, solid middle-aged July 4th.
Did you enjoy your getaway overall last week? You weren't around much last week. Nobody was except Tony and I, and that's okay.
No, it's probably best described as sort of mid-getaway. I'm not sure I'll be around that much this week. Yeah,
I got you.
You've already
informed me tomorrow is looking very iffy for your presence.
I got to deal with my wife's car thing.
It's a whole thing.
I don't even know. Like what it's gonna be, but anytime you're dealing with the wife's car, it just sort of starts this day-long downward spiral somehow.
I mean,
there's no way that turns out. Like at 6 o'clock tomorrow night, I'm not gonna be going, "Hey, it was an awesome day."
Right.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think, right? What a surprisingly fun day
I
had.
There's no
today.
Scenario where I'm going, "Man, that was."
No, you pretty much know that it's a day that you'd like to have back in some fashion. Can we just skip ahead to Wednesday?
Yeah. I mean, so anyway, that's.
That was it.
That's my middle-aged life.
Hey, look, I'm more middle-aged than you. I took my son, who happens to be 11, to go see Inside Out, which Tony told me was great. And it was a very good movie, the Pixar movie. It's about a little girl who happens to be 11 named Riley. And I got a kid on my soccer team who I coach named Riley. And I really hope she sees this movie while she's 11 years old. That was pretty awesome. And then I watched hopefully it's up to you what you watch, but I know Tony watched it. Did you watch the World Cup yesterday?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah. It was, I watched it with my son. He's, as most of that generation, much more into soccer than I am. But it was fantastic.
It was fantastic, right? Yeah. You thought it was fantastic. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably that men's soccer I've learned to really enjoy. I haven't gotten into the women's game as much because the World Cup, I got into it last year. The World Cup wasn't on last year, so this is really my first time watching it. It was cool.
Yeah. Call me a dope, if you will.
Yeah,
many have. Okay. Go ahead.
Right.
Go right ahead.
Dope.
Thank you. I enjoy watching it because I truly have coached co-ed soccer for about 5 years now, and I see these little girls, and I've got a little clique of them that have been the whole, I'm Mia Hamm, I'm so-and-so, and now they'll want to be these girls that you see out there, these young ladies, and I think that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love these little girls have been a joy to coach,
right.
truly. And this is the last year I'm going to coach coming up, because it's the last year they do co-ed. And
right.
it gets
right.
way too serious after that. My son probably has passing interest in it as it is now, so
right.
you know it's going to get way too serious. But I'm watching it. And Tony and I had this conversation a minute ago, John, before you walked in, that I'm sitting there and, the onslaught is on. 1-2. It's 3-0. It's 4-0 with the most spectacular goal you'll see with the one from midfield. And I'm thinking, man, and I get it. I'm the guy who, guess you don't get the game. I get the game. I understand the game. I understand the nuances of the game. I just don't care to watch 0-0 for 90 minutes. On a regular basis, I thought, man, if we had more games like this, people would love soccer. This is fun. This is, I mean, obviously, it's the United States putting it on
at
Japan.
4-0, I told my son, I said, you know what? There's some rube out there who's saying, I'd watch soccer if it was like this
every week. But you know what? You say that, and I heard,
he said, no, there isn't. I said, I'll bet there's a few.
There are millions of people that were thinking that yesterday, that if that game,
and I was
if
too.
That was indicative of that game.
I'm that rube, too. I mean, I was thinking the same thing. I mean, if you had that a little more, me, middle-aged old guy Rube, would watch it a lot more.
Right, and they,
Tony probably watches 0-0.
Tony,
I'm going to watch it at any score. I would say this: I would rather watch it at 2-2. Like, if I'm going to see four goals scored, I want to see an even game where I still feel like either team can win. Yesterday, I didn't want to see that. I'm not saying that's what I wanted to see yesterday. I actually tweeted out about it. I was like, as a USA fan, this is awesome. At 4-0, I was like, this is awesome as a USA fan. As a soccer fan, this kind of sucks. Because the game's over, it's 15 minutes into it, there's nothing else to watch in this contest, because Japan cannot win this game. There's a negative possibility of Japan getting back into this game. As a soccer fan, I didn't like it. As a USA fan, who cares for one game what anyone thinks as a soccer fan?
See,
USA.
Here's what I think about Tony's downplaying it here, in my opinion, because Tony comes in, he's like talking about, you cannot let that corner
ridiculous.
Get to the six.
It was ridiculous.
Contested. And I'm like, I've coached soccer for 5 years. I've never used the term the six. I don't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah,
he's
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Talking about the depth.
My eyes just glazed
over. Right, he's talking about the depth of the penalty
it's
box.
Two different boxes.
And I'm like,
I'm checking Twitter right now.
Check to see if the six is trending right now,
it's
please.
It's not.
And this is why people don't like soccer, in part, because you, Tony, are playing the role of the modern soccer hipster fan who wants to have the exclusionary lingo that tells you about the six. It's like, John, when I watch golf, and I love watching golf, I watch it for decades. But now everything is, here we are on 3T, here we are on 14 green. You mean the 14th green? The third tee?
It's like that scene in Mr. Mom. Yeah, H-O-H, whatever it takes.
I don't remember the scene in Mr. Mom. But it's like we've got to have this little code lingo to tell you that we separate ourselves from the rubes out there.
Well, Tony's crazy. Kind of an elitist. I mean,
Tony is elitist when it comes to soccer, I think. Tony and Lauren Brooks try to tell me that the most dangerous score in soccer is 2-0. I refuse to say
nil. I didn't
say
that.
I thought you backed her on that one.
No.
When we were watching the USA men's
team dangerous
here.
That was, when they were getting warm, when they were watching play Nigeria or whatever here,
yes.
right? Yes. No, 2-0's not the most dangerous.
You know what's more dangerous than that? Being down 4-0.
Right.
Right!
It's really dangerous.
What's dangerous? 1-0, because the next goal can tie it for you. Anyway.
Like, I was actually watching that game last night. It was 5-2, right? 60 minutes into the game. And these announcers are like, it's so important for Japan to get the next goal. No, it's so important for Japan to get the next three. Like, what are you talking about? They need to get the next goal in this game. Like, that kind of stuff. I get bothered
by it. I got where they're saying if they could get one more before halftime and make it 4-2, you're going to feel differently.
That was talking strategy. That's not talking with half an hour left. They need to, it's really important they get the next one. No, they're down three, guys.
Whoever it was at halftime, by the way, I watch all the halftime commentary and all that.
I flipped over to Discovery.
And analyzing, because you're not a true soccer fan like
me. I flipped over. It was Great Whites.
But whoever the lady was who was on the panel said, look, the game's over. Let's not kid ourselves. Yeah. Right. A winner has been determined here. And they're all like, ratings. We need right. people to watch in the second half. And she's like, come on. It's 4-1, which in soccer is like 73-0 in football. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, even my son who was into it, you know, he left at halftime. Yeah, you know, he went back to.
I told Mike, if it wasn't USA.
Was he a communist?
Right. Right. If it wasn't USA, as much as I like soccer, if it wasn't the USA doing that, I would have turned it off too.
Right. But here's the thing. If it wasn't USA, I wouldn't have been watching. Tony said, if this had been Germany, Japan, I wouldn't have,
yeah,
it wouldn't have kept my interest. Well, it would never would have had most right. people's interest to begin with. And all the people out there
not
who would
here.
Have been watching Germany, Japan, you go ahead and watch
right.
Germany, Japan.
It wouldn't have had a lot of interest here, which is
what
matters.
And I don't care. I mean, look, around the world,
watch. Did you watch
World
Cup
watch
after it was
you
over
want.
Last year? I mean, did you watch World Cup men's after the U.S. went out last year?
No.
Okay. See, I mean, I found it interesting.
And that's fine.
Last year. And I'll probably watch, what is it, the Gold Cup,
yeah.
President's Cup?
You know,
Cup,
yesterday's game.
President's Cup.
Yesterday's
sure.
game was Germany-Brazil in last year's World Cup. It was just nobody had any interest in this country when Germany was kicking the ever-loving crap out of Brazil
right.
in last year's World Cup in an elimination game. You didn't watch anymore because you didn't have any interest in watching that. Yesterday was the USA dominating that game. I'm telling you, I enjoyed watching the USA do what they did to Japan. I would have enjoyed it just as much if that game was 1-1.
I truly, on Saturday, I watched the first half of England and Germany in the consolation match just because Germany had just lost to the U.S., so there was some tangible connection to it. And then my kid came in and said, Daddy, can we watch Jurassic Park? So
heck yeah.
I said, all right, let's watch Jurassic Park. He's seeing them out of sequence, though. He saw the Lost World first.
What?
He wasn't born when it was in the theater, right? So he saw the Lost World. And then he saw the one that's out now. We took him to see that.
Jurassic World.
Right. And then we saw Jurassic Park this weekend, which he loved. And then I'm sure he'll want to see Jurassic Park 2 when he gets back from his grandparents.
You mean 3?
At the end of the week. No, 2. In the Lost World.
Lost World's 2.
And then I'm thinking, then he didn't see the Lost World. He saw three. Yeah, whatever the 3 is. I thought that was the Lost World. The one where they parasail onto the island.
Yeah,
that's 3,
that's
right?
That's 3.
Right, he saw 3, 4,
the Lost
1,
World is
and we're waiting on 2.
King Kong, Jurassic Park.
All right.
That's when they bring the T-Rex
fine.
Back.
I've never seen more than a minute of any of them.
No? No, that's never. Fine. You yeah. know what? It'd be like how much I would have watched Women's World Cup if the USA
right.
hadn't qualified. There you have it. So go USA.
Heck yeah.
And I thought that was maybe the greatest soccer game that I've ever watched, not involving my own kid. You know, because your own kid stuff is more fun.
But, absolutely.
At least for me, it is. All right. Today, we get into some NFL stuff. The NFL had their news dump. Right before the holiday weekend. Hey, look at all these big-name players that are going to be suspended. Let's not talk about it too much. Don't worry. We saved some room for a little NFL fodder. Johnny, did you watch the hot dog eating contest? Nathan's Famous this
yeah,
weekend?
It was on what? It was Saturday afternoon, right?
Right. It was Saturday. It actually started around 1, but the pre-contest hype started at noon.
Yeah, I saw it on a silent TV in the background of somewhere where I was, and my wife goes, "That's disgusting," and I just kind of
which it
nodded.
It is
yeah.
it is disgusting. Sports science. Did you see the sports science dude breaking down? They had a human anatomy model that they open up the front of, and you see all the you know the intestinal tract. So, dude. Proceeds to shove 69 hot dogs, which was the record coming in and still is the record by Joey Chestnut. Long live his reign. That's over now. But they shove 69 hot dogs into this model with this expanding stomach to show you what's happening. And I don't want to see what's happening inside one of
right.
these bodies, right? But you actually missed the best part, which is...
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
It's the pre-contest hype
okay.
fest of the intros of all these guys. And Tyler pulled some of the best intros, and we'll play some when we get back. It was absolutely spectacular theater. I enjoyed it tremendously coming up or taking place this past weekend. So we'll get into some NFL today. Jason Pierre-Paul, nearly blows his hand off, according to some reports. How significant is that? And could the Giants actually rescind the franchise tag that's been placed on him? Monday Morning Quarterback came out with their ranking of the top quarterbacks, all the starting quarterbacks in the NFL, ranked 1 through 32. Where does Blake Bortles fall on that? We'll get into that and a whole lot more. If you'd like to get on board today, 641-1010 is the phone number. That's the way to do it. While West Guns and Gold brings you the show every Monday. Question of the day, by the way, as we talk about all these things other than football here on Jaguars Today, is this. Between now and football season, what sporting event are you most looking forward to watching? Now that the Women's World Cup is gone, now that that Germany-England consolation match is in the rearview mirror, whoo, what a barn burner, ladies and gentlemen. Which game or sport are you most looking forward to tuning into before football season hits us? We'll get into that a little bit today as well. You can tweet the show at MD_1010XL, at John Osier, and at 1010XL Fat Tony. Jaguars Today live from Everbank on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, Wild West Guns of Gold brings you the show every Monday. Jaguars Today, you may have noticed, you're on July 6th, 2015. You know, a whole hell of a lot of Jaguar news going on this particular morning.
No.
We'll get to the Monday Morning Quarterback rankings, which obviously touch on Blake Bortles and others. Training camp schedule, John, coming soon?
Yeah, I've got to think it's the next sometime this week.
Have you heard any scuttlebutt rumor innuendo as to whether, you know, what degree of open practices will be? Will there be another practice like they had at Bartram Trail last year, either there or at another place?
I don't know about another practice anywhere. I'm sure it'll be about the same open as last year. It seems like 2 weeks, a little more than that, in that range. I don't expect it'll change dramatically from last year's.
Yeah, I that's what I would think, too. I think people really love the Bartram Trail thing. Was pretty cool. You know, it's just kind of a unique thing. I think people would like to see them do that again. I don't know how difficult the logistics are of putting something like that together.
Yeah, our logistics people are pretty good around here. I think if they do it, they're able to do it very seamlessly. And I know Gus liked it. I know certainly the team values reaching out in that way. So, wouldn't surprise me if that was the case, put it that way.
It was ghost town here last week. I mean, truly, just practically not a car in the lot, right? So there are no players in. And, it's holiday week, and they're off anyway. They don't have to be here. But, for instance, I walked in this morning a little before 9 o'clock, and I saw Allen Robinson coming in. So are we going to start to see some of the players now that we're past the holiday weekend? We're in the month of July. They got a report on the 31st. We're going to start to see more of a trickle into the facility for these guys kind of getting into that mode on their own.
Yeah, I would think the guys who are in town come in to work out. You don't want to go the entire time between minicamp and training camp without ever doing anything. So you would expect guys who stay in town, younger guys, to start being back. My understanding from talking to the receivers and from listening to Blake after the season, after minicamp, was that they were going to try to get together off-site. They can't do anything here between minicamp and training camp, but it wouldn't surprise you if you heard that they were doing something off-site as the receivers, quarterback, just to stay fresh, just to stay, not fresh, but just to not have any rust
sharp
when you go in, right?
Yeah, and look, I'm with you on that. I think
I also don't think that is a. I don't think that is a must. That's fine to do. These guys do need downtime, and bodies need to take time off. So anything they're doing like that should be kept with that in mind.
You don't want to get a dead arm, as we know.
A dead arm, or even just this league over time. There's sort of become pressure on these guys, do more, do more, do more, do more. It's not really a year-round sport. So I think time off in the off season, first couple of years, as you get past year three or four, I don't mind these guys getting as much time away as they can.
I understand the reasoning behind why you don't allow the guys to come in and throw at your facility, because you want to avoid the situation where clearly, for a lot of people, it would be voluntary. But then all of a sudden, hey, this assistant coach wants to just kind of watch you, not say, you know what I mean? All of a sudden, they're trying to draw a bright line between anything that could be construed as some kind of mandatory or some kind of obligation for these guys to feel like they need to participate in these things.
You've got to protect the players sort of from themselves in a way and from coaches who sort of say, "Yeah, Teddy was in here. Where were you?" You know, with an implication, you can't at all even imply that they should be here under the letter of the rule. But the more you're allowed to have things here, the more you can get implied pressure. And that's the reason they don't do it.
Right. Now,
they put the line in the sand.
Nobody's going to, you know, if you have your quarterback get together with his receivers and somebody gets hurt, that's no NFL team, I think, is going to hold that against anybody. You know, I don't even know if that you'd be – because I know there are clauses like if you get hurt working out away from the facility,
right,
technically there are a lot of things that the teams could do, you know.
Sure, as opposed to, that's what you're saying. Right.
And typically they don't in a lot of circumstances. Now, when we get into non-football injuries, that's a different story. Like I said, no team's going to hold it against a quarterback.
Fireworks-related injuries.
Fireworks-related, for instance, right? But there are a lot of things.
No, like I'm not making light of it, but that's what you're – right.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, something like that with Jason Pierre-Paul, where he was said to burn the flesh off the palm of one of his hands and up to, like, three of his fingers, possibly some nerve damage. The initial reports were worse. They said severely injured with the implication that he could lose fingers. And now they say that's probably not going to be the case. Don't know what the prognosis is, but it sounds like he just got a significant burn on the palm surface of his hand and fingers. And at this point in time, you know, it's a very interesting situation. He was put under the franchise tag. I think it's $14.8 million for his position for a one-year deal. Had not signed it at this point in time, which is a little bit curious because it didn't strike me in all the coverage of him this offseason like the Giants are looking to give him that deal. I think they kind of are content with him playing on the franchise tag this year and proving you know, that he is continuing to be an ascending player. He's had two big years out of four and two mediocre to poor years at the same time. So now if you're the Giants, clearly you need the pass rush. You need this guy. The one thing that they could do, they could put him on the non-football injury list,
right,
which they wouldn't have to pay him. Because any other way, you could put him on, you know, you could just not play him and have to pay him. And who knows? I mean, we don't know what the timetable is. Maybe he's ready for week one. And Chris Mortensen yesterday suggested this isn't necessarily even game-threatening or season-threatening, never mind career-threatening. In other words, he may not miss any games during the regular season. But if you're the Giants, what do? You just hope for the best. And if Jason Pierre-Paul showed up today and hopefully his writing hand is not the one that's injured and wanted to sign the franchise tender, I mean, is it business as usual as far as you're concerned?
Well, what you don't know is, what I don't know because I'm not close to that situation, what the working relationship is between Pierre-Paul and the Giants.
Right.
Is there animosity there from the franchise tag? Did they know beforehand, is it a good relationship? Is it a testy relationship? Could play into it. If it's a positive relationship, which I don't know why it wouldn't be, then I think, generally speaking, a team tries to operate under as close to good faith as you can, and as close to doing the right thing. Now, if he were in a situation where he absolutely couldn't play, and then it becomes a salary cap situation where you've got to allow your team to function, then I think that becomes different than is it. Are you trying to keep money away from the person out of principle? I mean, that's, to me, those are two different things. Okay, this guy was clearly not trying to do the wrong thing. We're not going to punish for that. But we got to go to a pass rusher and we can't afford this under the cap. Then it's different.
Well, what if you are? I mean, look, there's no pass rushers out there to get that,
right?
So let's say $14.8 million, he wants to come in and play for that. Let's say the prognosis was he's going to miss the first 2 months of the season. And, you know, due to this kind of thing, not a football thing, I mean, if you're the Giants, do you, out of good faith, pay him $7.4 million to sit on his butt for 2 months because he burned his hand playing with the fireworks? I don't know if that's the case.
I think it's tough. If you're trying to do the right thing, it's tough not to pay him.
I guess it depends on what you define the right thing is.
Right.
You know, what is the right thing? Is the right thing to make this guy feel good about, you know, or other players feel good about the way we're going to treat players, regardless of the circumstance they put themselves in. I could quite easily side with the team on this.
Yeah,
if
I mean,
they elected to not pay him, not cut him, but not pay him until he's ready to play.
I think this is different than a motorcycle / other sport type injury where they're sort of over and over again told you can't do this, can't do this, and you violate a clause in your contract. This feels like more just sort of a innocent mistake. You know,
I got you.
I don't think they sit there and have training on, hey, don't grab the fire. I mean, yeah, it's common sense.
Understood. It's not like, but is it really any? We don't know the circumstances. I don't know if he was drinking, but let's say he was at a party and was drinking and slipped on the pool deck, you know, and tore his ACL or something. If he tore his ACL, slipping on the pool deck, the Giants are not going to pay him the franchise tag money to keep him around this year, are they?
Right.
Right. I mean, so I guess it depends on what the prognosis is. Right now, it looks like he's going to be able to play sooner rather than later, based on the latest you've heard from that. You hear about the guy in Maine who lit the mortar off on his head this weekend?
I did.
His life lasted about 1 second longer than that. Truly. He took one of these mortar fireworks things. He's home once. And Tony and I were talking about this. You got to put these things on a concrete slab to light them off. You've seen, you told the story, wasn't it about a mortar that cracked a concrete slab?
Yeah, it was a 4-inch thick concrete slab broken into about 12 pieces.
Right. That's the power
it's creating,
to shoot this thing off. Guy decided, I'll put this on my head and launch it from my head. And people are like, don't do that. That's crazy. Don't do that. And then they say they thought they had talked him out of it. Next thing you know, they look over. He's lighting this thing on his head, and the way it was described, I'm paraphrasing, is there was no need to call 911. It was immediately evident that.
Yeah, it's one of the most awful.
I mean, think about this.
Yeah.
Not good whatsoever. No. So JPP certainly didn't go that far, at least.
No, I mean, that's.
Maybe try to light the mortar off in his hand. I'm not sure.
Sickening. Right.
No, it's horrible. It's terrible. It's ridiculous. The other NFL news coming into the weekend was Antonio Gates, Sheldon Richardson, Rolando McClain, the three highest profile guys. There's another guy.
Dayton Jones
got 1-game suspension, right? The other three got 4-game suspensions, either for, in the case of Gates, performance enhancing drugs, and Sheldon Richardson and Rolando McClain, street drug, recreational drugs,
right.
Apparently is the case. Antonio Gates played the card of, and it may be accurate, we just don't know. Hey, I obviously took something. I didn't know what was in it. I need to do a better job. I'm responsible for it. At least he took responsibility. Nobody ever admits, hey, I was taking some HGH or whatever the case may be. So he's going to be out for 4 games. They've got Ladarius Green, who's a good young player, and they might be able to cover him. Sheldon Richardson's an interesting case because Muhammad Wilkerson wants a new contract, right? And they just drafted Leonard Williams, and they think they've got these three guys kind of for two positions in there. And the thought has been maybe they play it out with Wilkerson and let him go because he wants, you know, he thinks he wants Ndamukong Suh money. Well, so do I.
Sure.
He's a lot more likely to get it than I am. But now you got a guy in Sheldon Richardson where clearly if you get to this point where you're getting a 4-game suspension, as we know, it's not your first run-in with the recreational drug policy. So now if you're the Jets, you're wondering, well, you know, in the back of their minds, they're probably thinking, we are going to give Sheldon Richardson a contract extension at some point. Do we want to tie that up with Muhammad Wilkerson? Do they now flip-flop and go the other way and say, we can't trust this guy? That's going to be the interesting question with that.
And since you have Leonard Williams, that's
a nice insurance policy.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder, did they have some clue? You know,
they probably did.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think you necessarily draft long-term 7-8-year guy in Leonard Williams because of what could be a 4-game issue, but it certainly brings into consideration.
I think it's not just the 4-game issue, though. I think it's the fact that now the next time it's a 10-game issue.
Right.
And the next time after that's a full season issue. So it's you're right. If you just knew he's going to miss 4 games, that's not a reason to draft a guy in the top 6 picks
of
the draft.
Right, but if it's been dicey, if they've got a feeling something like this could be lingering, then you have Leonard Williams in the fold. So.
All right. If you'd like to get in today, 641-1010 is the phone number. That also doubles as the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. I'm the only one apparently in the room who watched the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, but Tyler has pulled some fantastic audio of the pre-contest hype. George Shea is the man in the straw hat that MCs this event every year at Coney Island. And if you missed it, I think you'll get a kick out of some of the introductions that he gave yesterday, including to now former eight-time champion Joey Chestnut. I guess he's still an eight-time champion, but no longer the active reigning champion.
This was his first loss this weekend.
It was first loss in 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, Kobayashi had beaten him before.
Flags half staff is
in the early days. I don't know. I mean, is it a shock that a guy named Stoney could eat a lot of hot dogs? I'm not thinking that it is. You know, I'm thinking a guy named Stoney probably has consumed
a
lot of
Stoney's the guy
bad
who
food for
pushed
you.
Him for like 70% of the contest last year.
He did. I didn't watch it last year, but I watched history go down this past Saturday.
Yes,
we'll,
you did.
You'll hear some of the intros to that I think you're going to enjoy if you missed them. And if you didn't, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We'll come back, take a look at that coming up a little bit later on. One of our own getting ready to leave Jacksonville. We'll tell you about that a little bit later as well. Jaguars today rolls on. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, rolling along here. Jaguars today live at Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, senior writer for Jaguars.com. Fat Tony here with you. What are you cooking up, by the way, at Jaguars.com?
Cooking up?
Yeah. What do you got going on? What are you eating over there?
A 5-1 bar.
All right.
A little breakfast tied me over to lunch.
I guess.
It's good stuff.
All right, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Did you get that from the little commissary right out
No,
front?
I didn't. I got that from the commissary at the Ozone House.
Okay.
So at Home Zone.
You got it from your larder.
I did. We'll have five rookies to watch in the next couple of days. Jaguars.com Live will be back on Wednesday afternoon, probably one-ish, or straight up one, as it were. So that's sort of the initial outline for the week, and we'll have some more in store.
I'm going to guess.
Maybe a little Ozone.
I'm going to guess Yeldon would be a rookie to watch.
Yeah.
Can might be a rookie to watch. Sample might be a rookie to watch. Green might be a rookie to watch.
When you do five.
And Bennett might be a rookie to watch.
They're all in there somewhere.
Is that close? Is that pretty close?
Fill a little.
We're not keeping an eye on
days
Dante.
Here, Mike.
Hey, Dante, you get back to your rehab.
We're
we'll
filling
watch
some
you
days
later.
Here, Mike.
All right.
There's some dead time to
There's nothing
season.
Wrong with that. All right? There's dead time. Are you kidding me?
At least we're not talking about World Cup and Jurassic
World,
right?
We're going to talk hot dogs. We're going to talk
hot dogs
here in a second. This is the important stuff. Joey Chestnut, eight-time defending hot dog eating champion at Nathan's Famous in Coney Island. Hard to believe it's been 8 years, by the way, since Kobayashi held the title. Whatever happened with him, Tony? Did he join some like rival competitive eating circuit? I really think he did.
I have no idea.
And he was barred from the competitive eating contest that he wasn't sanctioned in, something like that, because he showed up in New York to do a couple of these, like kind of eat hot dogs on the side while the thing was going on. He's kind of an afterthought now. Matt Stoney is your champion. But the real champion on Saturday was George Shea, who was the guy who introduced all the different fighters, which I just thought was spectacular. Obviously, they write these over-the-top, ridiculous little intros for them. This was his introduction to introduce the contest as a whole on Saturday afternoon.
They say that competitive eating is the battleground upon which God and Lucifer wage war for men's souls, my friends, and they are right. For this is a battle of the titans, a battle of that God that is half man and comes to earth only once and only one location, and that is here in Coney Island, Brooklyn, for only one purpose, and that is for the Nathan's Famous 4th of July International Hot Dog Eating Championship of the World. We arrive at our destination by the sum of all our paths and the unswerving punctuality of chance. So it is, and so it always shall be. Let the contest begin!
I love this guy, man. He's fantastic. They say...
I always said you can pretty much write anything as long as you preface it with, they say.
Easy there, 5-1. John ate half of 5-1, and he's done. He's out. He just tapped out this morning. Yeah, they say.
Who's they?
Doesn't
really
matter.
Do they?
But then he followed up with, and they are right.
Right. You know? And they're right.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, truly is. Competitive
usually
eating.
That's followed up by they're wrong.
That's true, right? So, in this case,
this guy
though,
took a new
tack. There's nothing that they could say hyping competitive eating that would be incorrect.
That's right.
According to George Shea. Hey, Lucifer, says God, pick your poison. You want pork and beans or you want blueberry pies? Competitive eating at noon, duel. These are some of the intros that he had. You know, it's funny. You watch these guys get up there. Joey Chestnut's record is 69 hot dogs. Every year now it's around 60 to win the thing, 60-something to win it. And you get all these guys that get up there, and their personal best is like 26 hot dogs.
Right.
And you're like, why are you even here? What is the point of this? It's really like...
So we can find out they're like the world meatball champion.
Which is true, right? Or even better, Swedish meatball champion.
I had one on Saturday and didn't feel all that great about myself.
One hot dog? Yeah. What clearly 5-1 bars would not be the answer to this, but if you could eat the most of any food, what would it be?
Oh, man, probably... Yeah, you know, my wife makes a pretty good enchilada.
Yeah?
And I've been known to sort of go overboard a little bit there.
Osier homemade enchiladas.
Yeah, so I've been known to, I guess embarrass myself is probably a good word. So
go to town on some enchiladas.
So probably that for lack of, you know.
Gorge yourself.
Yeah, it can get bad.
Tony?
Probably pancakes.
Pancakes.
I don't eat them very often, but when I do, I'm always like, well, can I get a third, a fourth, a fifth helping?
You're right. Pancakes are delicious.
I love pancakes.
Pancakes, a little butter. I'm not a syrup guy. Can't have the syrup. That just weighs you down.
Yeah.
I won a French toast eating contest in high school, which was pretty impressive at the time. Wendy's used to do 99-cent all-you-could-eat French toast, and you'd get a little plate with basically two slices of bread, each of them cut in half diagonally, so you'd have four little triangles of French toast on there, and I think I ate 10 of those plates of French toast, which was a lot at the time.
It's a lot of bread.
Yeah, it is a lot of bread.
Joey,
a lot of bread.
That would destroy you.
So, totally. Have you the milk challenge, right?
You've
heard of it.
I've heard rumor, yes.
Right? Hacker's tried it. I don't think he's given it his all, personally, but he's tried it over the years. Try to drink a gallon of milk in less than an hour, and if you finish it in, say, 40 minutes, you have to hold it down for the remainder of the hour. That's always the stipulation we put on. And, like, it's got to be possible, right? So we're Googling on the internet and checking out YouTube, and at the time, Joey Chestnut was kind of an unknown guy, and he goes into some Philadelphia radio station. You can still find this on YouTube, and he downs a gallon of milk in 48 seconds. I mean, just straight chugs a gallon of milk. So... it takes a special breed, is the point. Here are some of the intros from George Shea for some of the not-so-competitive eaters this Saturday, but officially competitive eaters. This one was for Nasty Nate Biller.
He struggles to understand the nuances of our culture. The difference, for example, between a butt dial and a booty call. But he understands everything there is to know about competitive eating, and he's widely acknowledged as a tamale eating specialist. 50 1/2 tamales in 10 minutes. From Wichita Falls, Texas, the great Nasty Nate Biller.
The great Nasty Nate Biller.
Right.
He's so great. He's fantastic. Now, do you think Nate wrote that for himself, or are they just writing these?
I think they... Look, this guy's a tamale guy. And he's like, all right. I got something for
that.
Tamale guy.
Here is Yasir Salim's intro.
He is entirely committed to competitive eating. He will do whatever it takes to win. 3 days ago, he broke up with his girlfriend and euthanized his dog to leave a void of emptiness inside him that he could fill today with hot dogs and buns, ladies and gentlemen.
It gets better. I love that. This is Brian Dudlight Dudzinski.
He has eaten 30 moon pies. He can use the word dude as a noun, pronoun, verb, adverb, adjective, and exclamation.
I'm thinking this guy is the one who most closely aligns with Hacker in the competitive eating world.
Dude.
Right there. Dude. Dirt. He can use it in a lot of ways. Eric the Red, Denmark.
He is most proud of his Scandinavian heritage, which he celebrates by shopping at IKEA, driving a Volvo, and cooking on a Viking range.
All right, we'll make up for that. That was pretty weak altogether, but apparently Badlands Booker, the big, the 400-pound black guy who's there every year, mm-hmm. and he does a respectable number every year compared to some of these other guys. He apparently has his own rap that he wrote, because this guy is doing the rap, and Badlands Booker is lip-syncing the rap as he's walking up there at the same time. So this was the intro of George Shea, the man in the straw hat, for Eric Badlands Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, the matzo ball and green bean and donut-eating champion of the world. Are you ready? He is the top regurgitator extraordinaire, the one who eats to the beat with the fashion fair. He's out of house, a home, no thought or care, fridge empty, cupboards bare. The one that rips snacks out of school backpacks, looking over your shoulder like Michael Jackson. He'll be there, eating like Pac-Man, digging in your candy dish. Yo, it's a rap song. Yo, who be there? Badlands, baby. No ifs, ands, or maybe devour like crazy. He's like the dog in the Looney Tune, baby. He gets the steak. He's like, what? No gravy? Superhero with a fork and spoon. Train like X-Men in the danger room. Like a pirate. Lower the Epicurean boom. Quicker than soon. Not skating like Doom. Ladies and gentlemen, Badlands Booker!
I like it. And he's doing it, Tony. I don't care if it's a little dumb or a lot dumb. He's doing it without a teleprompter. He's doing it without, you know.
Still impressive.
It's still pretty impressive to me. It's not bad. We're getting to the end here. Eater X Janice.
Eater X.
You know Eater X, right?
I do know Eater X.
He's a face painter in the crowd.
Yes.
Is what he is. This was the intro for Eater X Janice.
He was born outside of time, a witness to all possible realities. He was there when the sea and the sky were mixed together as one, and humans floated from the depths of the Pacific to the very edge of space, where they looked out at the stars in the blackness. He was there when druids walked the earth, and he watched as mankind built great cities, developed technology, and invented complex language with combination words such as bromance, labradoodle, manscaping, frenemy, and craptacular. One man has witnessed it all, and of all time, and of all realities, this is his favorite here in Coney Island. Let's hear it for the man of mystery, Eater X.
Yeah, slap a little face paint on, man, and all of a sudden you've got a legendary backstory. He walked the earth with the druids, and then finally, you know, there wasn't a big intro for Stoney, who won the thing,
mm-hmm.
but of course, you know, you're going to get an epic intro for, at the time, the 8-time defending.
Did they carry
champion.
Him in this year again?
Joey Chestnut did not get carried in this year.
Last year they carried him in.
No, he walked in. He held the belt. Now, does he give that belt? Is that belt now go to Stoney, or does he get to keep that belt?
I believe it
goes
Stoney.
I think you probably
got to
buy your own belt, right?
Yeah.
You have to?
I think so. I don't know.
It's the official belt. Like, the heavyweight belt. You got to pass that along, right? When you lose, you don't get to keep like a replica. They don't make a new one for the next guy, do they?
I'm not sure how that works.
I think so, but anyway, this was the final one. Joey Chestnut coming in as the 8-time defending champ.
In a world of nothing, of barren hills and cracked earth, and once proud oceans drained to sand, there will still be a monument to our existence. Bleached by the sun, perhaps, and blunted by time, but everlasting. Because this man represents all that is eternal in the human experience. The courage to stand for a nation when all others fail or turn away. The strength to recognize the value of freedom and to accept its cost, no matter how great. Through the curtain of the aurora, a comet blazes to herald his arrival. Transcribed into every language known to history, including Klingon. The bratwurst and pierogi and Hooters chicken wing eating champion of the world. 8-time Nathan's famous hot dog eating champion of the world. The number one eater in the world. I give you America itself, Joey Chestnut.
Out here
in the... And as Tyler points out, He, in the term in the business is hitting the post,
mm-hmm.
right? He hits it right to the moment that the lyrics kick in. And, of course, the next line is, I fight for my meals.
That's right.
So there you go. George Shea, one of the great American heroes of this past July 4th weekend.
Yeah, subcultures fascinate me.
I would like you to write your own intro, and I'll be happy to read it for you every week.
Well, I don't think I can live up to that.
No? You've got time. You don't have to have it. You know, get it done by the start of the season.
You just
got to
write it. He's the one.
Right, I'll do
it. Every week.
Or we'll record it. We'll produce it. We'll
have some time on that one.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by our friends at Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date in football history, go back to 1994. The CFL, the Shreveport Pirates, played their first game in the Canadian Football League. That's how screwed up Shreveport is. They think they're in Canada.
Well, there was a few teams that did that for a while, remember?
A few American teams that played in Canada. I can't believe there's a team in Sacramento that played in the World League back in the day. You talk about the travel now, they're talking about a franchise in London. There's a team based in Sacramento. Now, they probably played the European circuit. They had the three European teams over there. They probably went over there and played each team and made the trip a little bit more worthwhile. Famous birthdays on this date from the world of football. We go back to 1946. Fred Dreyer. John, a man of your age, might know who Fred Dreyer is. Do you remember Fred Dreyer?
Sure, Fred Dreyer played for the Rams.
Played for the Rams and also was an actor on television, the movie
Good
The
lineman
Show Hunter.
On a good line for a long time.
He was a very good player. 1968, Alvin Harper, who was a cautionary tale for when you're trying to overpay wide receivers in free agency. Doesn't always work out. Of course, the Bucs paid Vincent Jackson a ridiculous sum of money, and he's worked out beautifully for them. So it doesn't always come to pass. Give me an NFL player whose first name began with consecutive N's. N as in Nancy. Got one? Back-to-back N's.
I should know it, and I can't remember.
Not too many of them.
Nothing.
Nnamdi Asamoah.
That's right.
N-N-A-M-D-I. Retired kind of quietly after the 2013 season. At one point,
dream team.
It was he and Revis, right? Right. The Philadelphia Eagles were going to be the dream team. Tony had to get a shot in against the Eagles. And Tony, a legend, a preseason legend that you and I met in person in Phoenix, was born on this day. Billy Davis, born in 1972, John. Back in the late 90s, I don't know if you recall this, Billy Davis, a wide receiver with the Dallas Cowboys, had a tremendous preseason. He went over 100 yards receiving in all four preseason games, had over 500 yards for the preseason, may have caught three passes the entire rest of the year. And he's always been a story of a guy that we've used in fantasy football circles not to get too caught up in what happens in preseason. So Tony Iron Phoenix, after, and Lauren Brooks, the three of us, were there. Let's say we're lubricated at this point in time. It is very late on one of these nights in the hotel. And for some reason, I don't even know how we realized it was him. Somebody said, hey, this is my friend Billy Davis. And I'm like, you're not the Billy Davis. And he was shocked because I knew all the details of his preseason
legacy. Mike starts
legacy.
Saying, like, stat lines. And Billy's like, whoa.
He was a little scared, I think.
He got uncomfortable.
Yes, it did get uncomfortable. But honestly, what a random kind of meeting that was with this guy that for years has stuck in my head as the example. It's going back like 17, 18 years as the guy who is the poster child for don't pay attention to what happens in the preseason compared to necessarily projecting the regular season. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Stop in. They're located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, call 620-9225. They've got the custom fit Somnomed Stop Snoring Mouth Guard. They're a certified Invisalign provider. In the meantime, check out jamesjmccall.com. Get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now drive around the NFL.
Green Bay Packers tight end Andrew Corliss was arrested Saturday in Miami Beach after allegedly firing a gun into the air outside of a parking garage. The gun firing, according to a witness, occurred around 5 a.m. after Corliss and another man that was riding with him in a black Porsche got out of their car to talk to some girls in another vehicle. When the conversation reached the level of the girls yelling at the two men to leave them alone, that apparently is when Corliss, according to the witness, fired his weapon in the air and then got back into his car. Minnesota Vikings cornerback Josh Robinson has a partially torn pectoral muscle that he reportedly suffered before the team's mini camp in June. Robinson was the team's nickel corner primarily last season. So the Viking drafted Trey Waynes in the first round this year. They have veteran corners Terrence Newman and Captain Munnerland. There is no clear timetable yet for his return. And Mike Fisher, who is with CBS in Dallas-Fort Worth, reported this weekend that he thinks a long-term deal between Dez Bryant and the Dallas Cowboys could be announced as soon as today. The parameters are expected to be 7 years, $100 million. The two sides have until July 15th to come to an agreement.
You know, there's a lot of talk in Denver that, obviously, you know, if you're one of these guys, you're Demaryius Thomas or Dez Bryant, you'd like the other guy to kind of set the market so you can try to top it, if that's the case. But there's a lot of question about whether Denver's going to invest the money in Demaryius Thomas, that if this could be Peyton Manning's last year, are we going to really move to a more ground-based attack and, you know, center the offense around C.J. Anderson? I don't know what Brock Osweiler brings to the table. They have a better idea than we do, but, you know, are you going to tie up all this money when you've got other guys? Would you rather invest it in Von Miller or, you know, if you're going to go the defense running game route? It's tough to say because the point they made was there's no case of a team winning a Super Bowl after bringing in that high-profile wide receiver as the final missing piece, you know? But once you have him there, and,
right,
you know, I mean, Demaryius Thomas,
you don't like to let elite guys go.
He is elite,
and
right?
He's really good.
I mean, he's among the top 10 guys. I don't care who he's, you know, he may not put up the same numbers if he was playing with a different quarterback, but
right,
he still had the same skill set. He still had the same size, speed, good hands, all that stuff, you know?
I guess you get spoiled if you've had as much talent as Denver's had lately. But, boy, it's so hard to find, you know, finding guys who are multiple Pro Bowlers and who you feel like you can build things around is hard. And I don't know that you want to let those guys go when they're in your building if they're at premium positions, which wide receiver is, especially one, especially a number one wide receiver. Tough to let that guy go.
Yeah, let's
maybe
see,
they will, but I mean,
Emmanuel,
he's going to make some
Sanders,
money on the market if he goes.
Let's see if Emmanuel Sanders could put up the same kind of numbers without Demaryius Thomas on the other side. I mean,
yeah,
he's going to draw the coverage. And even as, if you look back, he had a down game. I want to say it was about week 14 last year where he was really not a factor, but over the last 5 or 6 weeks of the season, as Denver was moving away from a wide open attack, and whether it was due to, you know, cumulative injuries to Peyton Manning or there's effective running the ball with C.J. Anderson last year, Demaryius Thomas was a steady producer all throughout that time, with the exception of one game. So even as the overall passing offense was taking a step backwards, he really wasn't last year for them. And
guys like that, even if they go through a phase where they don't produce, defenses have to pay attention to him, and there just aren't that many guys who force defenses' hands whether they're catching the ball or not. So it would be a rare move to let a guy like that go.
How highly would you rank Peyton Manning right now among the current crop of quarterbacks as of today, projecting how they'll perform this year only?
Well, if you believe, and I don't know. It's hard to know because it comes out after last season he was significantly injured late last year, and that was part of why the performance went down. If you believe he was the quarterback at the start of last season going into this season, then he's probably still top five. But at the end of last season, he wasn't. So I don't know how do you differentiate between age and injury there? Historically, the age has not really caught up with him until that injury, so you would think he can still be effective at a level, you know, top 10.
The cumulative numbers for him last year, we got through 39 touchdowns.
Yeah, it's a pretty good bad year.
It's the best bad year anyone's
right,
ever had. Really.
So, I mean, and everything suggests that he was really injured at the end of last year. So at the beginning of last year, I don't know that he was on his pace from the year before, but that was a historical all-time pace. He was still at a level that was as good as, you know, the top 5-6 quarterbacks in the league. So
who's the best quarterback in the league? To you?
Rodgers.
Rodgers, Tony?
Yeah, Rodgers.
Me too. Me too. The Monday Morning Quarterback ranked all 32 projected starting quarterbacks in the National Football League. They picked Brady. That seems more like a career achievement award. Brady's very good. He's still among the best. I just find it hard to believe that if anyone were going to play one season with one quarterback, that you wouldn't choose Aaron Rodgers without knowing what the composition of the rest of the team would be, right?
Yeah.
Like, how good is the line? Because Rodgers has a lot more mobility than Brady. He doesn't have as much as Cam Newton, for instance, but he's got better than average mobility.
Plus, Rodgers has almost a second vision. That he does things that, you know, just make you go, wow, all the time.
And he can get it there as quick as just about any quarterback in the league.
I think he's all-time, unique.
I think he's the best player in football, even better than J.J. Watt, and not too many guys in that category. This is the top 10.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
You know, if you're picking a guy right now, a player to have on your team right now, and you've got everybody available, I pick Aaron Rodgers.
So would I.
I'm not sure I would think about it that much.
If I were starting a franchise, I might take Andrew Luck. But if you're talking about, it depends on how
5 year period.
Like, a 5 year period is probably still Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Yeah, it's probably still Aaron Rodgers because he's 30 years old, I think, and you expect him to be in his peak at least for the next 3 to 4 years.
If history holds and his play holds, he's looking at 4 or 5 years where he's going to be remarkable.
Right. Now, for him to be considered among the tip-top of the all-time greats, he needs to win at least one more Super
Bowl.
Well,
and it's funny. It's sort of getting to that point with him where all of a sudden that reenters the conversation again, right? I mean, he won it in, what was it, 09 or, I'm sorry, 10.
Was it 10 or 11?
It was 10.
But
that's sort of, you know, that buy, he hadn't started for a long, long time before that, so that kind of bought him. But now you get the feeling that that's going to be a topic whenever he's playing this year.
Well, look at, I mean, how funny, though, the difference just one quarter of football makes. They're dominating Seattle, right?
Absolutely, right.
And their defense collapses. Russell Wilson's able to bring it back. That's not any fault of Aaron Rodgers, yet he doesn't take that team to the Super Bowl because of that circumstance. They could have easily, we could have been talking about maybe the two-time Super Bowl champion.
I'm never a huge fan of solely judging quarterbacks on Super Bowls because of that. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I think, the best quarterback in the league. Don't think that game was really his fault, but now that's off of his resume, so to speak, whatever that is. Probably through no fault of his own.
Here's the MMQB's top 10, and they'll tell you where Blake Bortles falls here. Tom Brady, number one. We mentioned Aaron Rodgers, two. They go with Andrew Luck at 3, Manning at 4, Roethlisberger at 5, Philip Rivers at 6.
Had a good year. So far,
who's below him?
Drew Brees right below him. Joe Flacco right below him. I don't think Flacco gets enough credit, personally. Because he hasn't put up, you know, those video game numbers during the regular season. But nobody practically
plays
better in the
postseason. Right
now, I don't
have a problem with Rivers at 6.
You don't have a problem with Rivers at 6.
I love Rivers, though. I think he's terrific.
Matt Ryan at 9. And then Tony Romo at 10. And then just to get down to Russell Wilson, Eli Manning, Russell Wilson round out the top 12. Blake Bortles came in at 25, and I heard the guys on the drill discussing this morning. Considering how bad he was statistically, that's actually pretty good for his ranking. He was the worst qualifying starting quarterback in the league. And the blurb they wrote about him, much better athlete than we realize, we being the average public out there, very possible he jumps 10 or more spots on this list in 2016. So at least that's somebody thinking beyond the numbers a little bit there, because you can't just look at
You have to with him.
Absolutely. But you can't just look at those numbers and say, wow, this guy could be the 15th best quarterback. The 15th best quarterback right now, you're talking, if you're down to 12 and you're talking about Russell Wilson, 15 is not a bad place to be. 13 was Matt Stafford, 14 Carson Palmer, 15 is Ryan Tannehill, and 16 is Cam Newton. And whether or not they're great quarterbacks, Tannehill and Cam Newton have earned that long-term second contract, that franchise quarterback money from their team. So,
well, during an offseason, if you've got Tannehill, all the guys you listed, if you've got them on your team, you're not particularly worried about your quarterback situation.
No, you think you've
got... like you're set.
Right, right.
Which, there's a lot of teams who scrape and claw every month to try to get to that point. So
Blake coming in one spot ahead of Jameis Winston. He is speculated to come in at 26 because there's a lot of shaky quarterbacks in the National Football League as well. But there are a lot of good quarterbacks in the National Football League. Andy Dalton comes in at 20, goes to the playoffs every year. He's been a flop when he gets to the playoffs. But, you know, you could do how much would you like a quarterback who can only get you to the playoffs four straight years here in Jacksonville? I haven't had that in a long, long time. Derek Carr actually came in at 19 off of last year, and Teddy Bridgewater at 23. So not light years. The stories we've heard about Teddy Bridgewater this offseason, you would think the national opinion on him that there's this gulf between Bridgewater and Bortles. And at least as far as the MMQB is concerned, there isn't.
Well, I mean, they're pretty knowledgeable football guys there. And, it, you know, with rookie quarterbacks who really haven't, the difference is negligible. So there's very much, it sounds like from these guys, very much a wait-and-see approach with those three guys, which I think is correct right now, because after a rookie season, it's hard to tell.
Put it this way, Blake Bortles plays well enough, whatever the final numbers are, whatever the final record is, but if he plays well enough that you could see him taking a leap up to the middle of the pack of quarterbacks in some national rankings, that's going to be a pretty good season for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I think people inside and outside the building will be doing cartwheels.
Right, even if they end up 6-10, which they don't want to be 6-10, if Bortles gives you that feeling that, wow, we've got the guy who's ascending now, and now he's ready to take, how high can he climb in these rankings? We're going to find out over the next few years.
If what you just said happens, then that's a successful season.
I would agree with that as well. Not every fan would, but that's why they would be wrong and I would be right.
Well, because then you've got hope, and then you know where you're going.
All right, we are going to a break is where we're headed right now. Wild West Guns and Gold, Johnny's favorite, brings you the show every Monday with John Osier, with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. Josh Carney, our good friend from the Web.com Fantasy Forecast from days gone by, joins us here at Everbank. We're live on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Wild West Guns and Gold brings you the show every Monday. Jaguars Today, brought to you by North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessory, Wild West. From revolvers to sporting arms, everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. You're going to trade your gold for guns at Wild West. Check out Guns for Jacks. That's Guns, the numeral 4, JAX.com, or stop by South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Coming up, we'll take a look at the fan feedback spotlight, which asked you today simply, you know, it's kind of a little bit of the downtime right now, but what sporting event are you looking forward to most, now that the Women's World Cup is done, between now and the start of football season?
Mine has not been mentioned yet.
Has not been mentioned
yet. No.
Let me guess, it's some CONCACAF friendly.
No.
No? All right. I think don't laugh. That's a reasonable guess on my part. Let's say hello to our good friend, Josh Carney. By the way, Tyler brought you back some California love.
Man. Oh, yeah. I saw that. That was
how,
thanks,
how about Carney? Carney, is the first time in the Jaguars Today studios. Right?
I know. I can't believe that, but yeah, first time over here. I've always been on that side of the building, and this is the first time on this side of the building.
One season we did the Web.com Fantasy Forecast here in the stadium.
Right, upstairs.
Which was,
it was interesting. Vacuum cleaners in the background.
Yeah. Let's call it as low-key a setup as you can imagine for a live for a television broadcast.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd always have to stop the cleaning lady from vacuuming.
Or the carts being moved. There would be like 14 people moving these big metal carts that would clank the entire way across.
Yep.
They'd be like, let's cut that, can we reshoot that?
Yeah, they had the fantasy lounge here, though. But, rumor has it. There's
rumors?
We're efforting
rumors.
Some kind of fantasy football season kickoff, perhaps, involving the pool cabana deck.
Oh!
I don't know. That's rumor.
As I leave. Oh.
That's rumor. And I don't know. Any of that might not come to pass, but you are leaving.
I know.
That's why we're having you in, because we're getting rid of you.
Yeah, I know. It's like a send-off. Like, I figured it was like going to be a roast or something.
Well, for people that don't know, you worked here for Web.com for a number of years.
I did.
In Jacksonville.
I did, and it just so happened, the way it all worked out was you and me had our fantasy show, and my CEO heard us on the radio and wanted to come in and said, hey, how can I get involved in this? I want to be involved. And so we You know, we kind of set them up to be the title sponsor.
They were a phenomenal sponsor.
Yeah, amazing sponsor.
They've outgrown us now.
Yeah.
They've gotten a little big, which is good for them.
Right.
Seriously, I see them now. I'm very proud of the fact that they were with us for as long as they were. But,
yeah.
You know, I'm watching the golf yesterday because I've got Kevin Kisner in my fantasy league, and he makes
of
the
course.
Playoffs. And, you know, I'm watching all these, you know, web.com tour where, you know, the future pros come from and all that. And they're so big now, so successful, huge sponsors.
Yep.
Of the Jaguars as well, and so we appreciate that. But as happens in life, you've got a business opportunity, job opportunity out in California. You couldn't pass up.
I couldn't. I and that's what happens. I tell you, it's good. It's a good sign of the economy when you start getting recruited by a lot of companies again, and the job market is definitely back in full swing. And that's just kind of what happened to me. I've been a marketing manager at Webb for a really long time, and. Yeah, a company reached out and found me that they are located in Sacramento, which just so happens to be where a couple of my best friends live. It was really random how it all worked out.
This is a whole medical marijuana situation.
For some gout or something, I guess. What do you treat medical marijuana?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was it just happened to everything just worked out really, really funny. And when I got out there, sat down in the room, did my interview with the CEO, and they slid that little piece of paper across the table, kind of like mafia style. And when I picked it up, I said, "I accept.
I'll be coming."
I said, "I will be moving."
I believe you put one too many zeros on here, good sir.
Exactly. Like, I think this was a misprint.
Is the comma in the wrong place? All right.
I think you forgot the decimal point.
Well, Tony, people have asked me a bunch, and I don't know if you're getting it as well, but you know, Josh and I have done the shows, but you've been a part of the TV show, mm-hmm. the radio
yep.
shows. The Your Jacks fantasy football show on CW17 is coming back with me and you.
Yes, it will.
This fall.
Awesome.
You've been a big part of that. And we're working out the details on the radio version of the fantasy forecast, but plans would be to continue a pace with myself and Tony.
You have to.
Doing things.
We've been doing it too long here. It's a staple now.
It's
a community staple. People in the community are worried. They're not going to get their fantasy.
Is that the word on the street?
Everywhere I go, people stop me. Small children, old men, random people, widows. They come up to me and they say, "Josh, what is going to happen?"
Those are the three most popular categories of fantasy football.
To the fantasy show. No, but that's how far reach it is. They're like, "What is going to happen?" I said, "Don't worry."
We'll take care of you.
We are going to take care of it. And as a matter of fact, Fat Tony's coming. It's like a tap in, like a wrestling. I'm just tapping out. He's coming in.
We've been doing it for years.
We've been doing
it so long,
right?
Three of us have been tapping in and out.
I said he's going to be in, and I am sure. Guess what, guys? Believe it or not, I know California's kind of a hippie state, but they still do have telephones.
Oh.
They actually do have telephones out there. I'm sure from time to time you're going to hear me pop in.
I hope I don't lose your
number. Call. I hope so, too.
Are you keeping the fantasy, the numeral 4
CAST? I think I kind of have to.
You do have to keep that for your Twitter handle,
right? I think you have to throw it out every once in a while.
Fantasy forecast. Yeah, tweet the program. You can be our collator of tweets.
Right, exactly.
You can sift through our tweets.
I guess I'll have to and filter them out.
Ones on.
And look, I'm still going to play in the radio show leagues. I am.
I'm
still going to be in all that. So I'll be around you, and you'll still be able to find me on Twitter and I'm serious from time to time if you ever have me on.
Will you make the playoffs in any of the leagues?
Oh, I probably not. Obviously not. I mean,
if your track record holds.
It's so fun. No, well, last year you and me actually made it almost to the, we lost in our, the semifinals to the championship game.
Yeah,
both of us. We almost were going to face each other. But yeah, it's funny. In the listener leagues, I tend to just do everything different from what I do in any of my other leagues just because I'm like, let's try something crazy.
Here we go, Tony.
No. It worked out in one league last year, and then in the other league, it did not.
All right. Impart some wisdom on us. I've actually had three drafts at this point in time, which, most people.
Rookie drafts. See, I've done rookie.
Three full redrafts. Just because, you know, it's the nature of working for Sirius. You have to do some of these things for some of the magazines they put out and whatnot. So, you know, most sane people are not drafting fantasy football teams in the month of June
or
July.
Well, we're not sane,
though. No, not at all.
No.
But right now, if you have the number one pick, who's worth the number one pick in fantasy this year?
Almost all the leagues I play in are PPR leagues, guys, still. I mean, I don't play in very many standards. And PPR league, even despite the suspension, Le'Veon Bell is my guy. I know Adrian Peterson is the I know he's the popular pick right now. He's, if you look at most rankings, he's ranked number one right now. I get it. And I know you told me you would take him number one right now.
I took
right?
him. I took him in the FSTA, the Fantasy Sports Trade Association, had a draft.
Right.
Okay. And Bob Harris, who has done radio with us over the years, I do a lot of work with on Sirius. He's really the guy who is in this league. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he had magazine deadlines, so he asked me to go to New York and participate for him. And so, to me, same thing. It's Bell, it's AP. Left to my own devices, it may have been Le'Veon Bell on my team. But Bob was adamant he wanted AP. Hey, it's really his team. I have no problem taking AP. I mean, he's a solid choice to start the team with anyway. So we took him number one overall.
Yeah, I just think Le'Veon Bell, despite the suspension, when he comes back, in my opinion, I don't believe there's really a chance outside of an injury that he, in any type of PPR setting, that he's going to fall out of a top three back each week. And the same offensive system coming back with really the same cast around him. He's so proven, still young, healthy.
Such a prolific receiver. That's the biggest value that he brings
to the
table.
I'd still probably take Le'Veon. Now, the wild card guy that I'm still really high on, and in the fantasy community, it's funny how much we fight about this. But and I'll ask you, I am extremely high on taking Gronk. Very high.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
I would take Gronk possibly top five. Well, literally.
I don't think that's a stretch at all. There are people that would take him number one overall because they're
the separation.
With Jimmy Graham leaving Drew Brees and now he's going to Seattle. I think actually Jimmy Graham's going to start to become a value if he falls
pretty far
in some of these drafts. But Gronk is seen as a guy who is clear cut the top guy at his position, and nobody's particularly close. Whereas, you know, you could draft Andrew Luck, he may be the top quarterback. How far behind is Aaron Rodgers? Probably not that much.
Right.
You could take AP. How far behind are some of these other guys? But to me, I have a hard time pulling the trigger on Gronk because I feel like I'm chasing running backs the rest of the draft. And there are a limited number of those guys that you can count on to get 250 to 300 touches for your fantasy team as a running back, and I want as many of those that I can play in my lineup every week on my roster.
That's true, but you know, we were talking about, you know, even during the break, we were talking about running back value and where you're able to get some guys, and that's why I think guys like you and me and Tony, we all have this little bit of a sickness where we also love drafting at this time of year because we've already done a lot of the homework. So we kind of know where guys are sitting and where guys are in offenses and things like that. And we know about guys a little bit before everyone else does. That's why it pays to listen to the fantasy shows and read the fantasy blogs. Because like you mentioned, even a guy, you know, obviously we're on the Jaguars Today show. So let's talk about TJ Yeldon for a second. TJ Yeldon going towards the end of the fourth round, early fifth round in most drafts at this point. That is if you do pull the trigger on a guy like Gronk, yeah, you're going to chase running backs. But I think there are guys right now, if you're going to draft over the next month and a half before it really gets going and when all the magazines drop and everybody starts doing all their big buddy drafts and doing their research, you can get a guy like TJ Yeldon, who I believe, and you probably believe it too because you're drafting him in a lot of drafts, that he's got a really great shot at being kind of a bell cow guy here.
Oh, and absolutely.
You're going to get a guy that's going to get almost guaranteed over 200 touches this year, whether that's receptions or runs. And to get him in the fourth or fifth round, that's pretty good.
Well, look, first of all, we hope that he helps the Jags win a bunch of games.
Right.
But, Tony, I mean, Dave Caldwell sat right where Josh is sitting and told us specifically, we're targeting 16 carries a game for TJ Yeldon.
Yeah.
You do the math on that. That comes out to 256 carries.
Carries.
Okay. Then you factor in, well, the guy's a good receiver out of the backfield. Yep. He can pass protect a little bit. Could he catch 40 passes out of the backfield on this team? Could he push 300 touches? And again, you know, DeMarco Murray last year had 392 carries alone, never mind receptions. But that's the rarity. You're not going to get that. So, look, I think TJ Yeldon can do it. But if I'm getting him as my third running back,
that's
at the end of the
fourth
round, I've gone running back crazy this year in the three drafts. And I think in all three of them, I've come out with three running backs in the first four rounds. And just because I feel like, and particularly with Yeldon, Yeldon's kind of a forgotten guy to a degree. And once he comes off the board, he's like the last, unless you want to take a chance on Todd Gurley, you don't know. It's too early to know what his status is going to be. There's not anyone else close to that category for me of a guy that I can expect to have 275 touches.
You know, an interesting pair, if you compare it pretty late based on where they're going, is if you can grab like Darren McFadden and Randall late, late in drafts and just play whoever the hot guy is coming off of that, you know, and they're in Dallas behind that offensive line. I think you've got a shot at getting another really good back that could end up as a top 20 back, and you can get both of those guys really late, ninth, 10th round, you know, especially if you pair them up. So look, I get it where you're saying you're coming out with a lot of running backs early, and with wide receiver being as deep as it is this year, You can pick up starting number one wide receivers in the fifth or sixth round that you would feel comfortable running out there every week. Still, though, going back to what I said about Gronk, the difference there is that I see a lot of running backs that I could take that could possibly end up in the top 10, which, as you know, every year, 48% churn in the top 10 backs every year, Mike. I mean, guys you draft in the top 10, half of them will not finish in the top 10. So you've got a really high upside, whereas in tight end, that doesn't happen. Most of the time, they end right as you draft them in a very similar order. Gronk is such a safe bet and a safe play. You don't have to worry about those 50-50 odds, and you're going to distance yourself so far from the next team that's playing you. You're going to outscore their tight end unless it's come, you know, some
unless you get baby Gronk in round 4 or 5.
Baby Gronk, yeah, Travis Kelce. Yeah.
Baby Gronk.
Love him.
Love him. Yeah, hey, listen, man, we got to wrap it up, but wanted to make sure you popped in.
Oh,
hello,
I appreciate it, guys.
And goodbye to all the people.
Goodbye forever.
At least in the short term. Goodbye forever. Phone lines.
Goodbye forever. We'll never talk
work.
To you again.
In California, Josh is going to work in his grow house or
grow house. Right.
Isn't that what everyone does in Northern California? That's what I'm led to believe.
Why wouldn't they?
Anyway, right? I mean, it's a booming industry, Tony.
And if you're
semi-legal.
If you're ever out in Sacramento, let me know. Hit me up on Twitter at Fantasy, the numeral 4 CAST. And, you know, by the way, for a Super Bowl coming up this
year. Santa Clara, Tony's not that far from Sacramento.
No, it's not. It's an hour and a half.
Re-logic.
Yeah. So, Super Bowl and all that good stuff. And especially if any of you Jaguar fans out in California are out there. I already had several hit me up. And so let me know, and I'll be out there, and we'll watch some Jaguars.
All right. Love you, brother. Good to see you,
appreciate
man.
Appreciate it, guys.
And thanks for all the great work you've done over the year with years with the Fantasy Forecast and the CW show as well. Josh Carney, exit stage left, John Osier. We'll come back in, and we'll wrap up the fan feedback spotlight as we put a bow on this Monday's show brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, down the stretch we come on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. I feel like I haven't pointed out enough that you can trade your gold for guns.
Yes, you can.
At Wild West.
Yes, you can.
Johnny O knows that.
But can you go the other way? That's
not really sure.
That's still the question I want to answer.
Not really sure. But they've got guns. They've got gold.
They got it all.
They got a phone. Call them at 693-0777, our Monday sponsor here. John, for you, you like some other things. You're into some other sports as well, but how much do you like?
I've been sitting here watching Wimbledon while we're doing
the
show.
I know he has. You've been doing the Wimbledon on the phone, which
is
very
impressive. Yeah, for me, it's
impressive.
Not close. I mean,
are you in Hackers Wimbledon Fantasy League?
No, but I would watch, until training camp, Wimbledon's the best to me.
Is it?
I love it, yeah.
All right, let's go. I used to watch Wimbledon.
But a lot of that's my son plays. We follow it together. We're sort of into it, so there's that element. But even beyond that, I'm a big Federer fan. I love Andy Murray. I mean, I like the sport from when we were kids, when it sort of mattered in the States with McEnroe.
Wimbledon was phenomenal. Yeah, I used to watch it as a one sporting event. I always watched with my mom every year. It was her favorite sporting event. We were Catholics who went to Mass early that Sunday so we could get home and see the men's final.
And it's a tough sport for America right now because the men are so down in this country. But if you step beyond that, it's such a golden age for the sport that I really enjoy it. Novak Djokovic and Federer, Murray, Nadal slipping a little bit right now, but it's fantastic. I know most people aren't into it, but I love it.
And it's funny that you say it's a golden age because I think the perception is that
In the States it's not
right,
but for the sport itself, the top 4 or 5 players are playing at a level that was unimaginable 15 years ago.
Tony, for you, between now and football season, what are you most looking forward to?
Since the Braves aren't going to find themselves in any kind of playoff run, I don't think, and Major League Baseball, for me, it's the Gold Cup. You were half right, CONCACAF, but these are not friendlies. This is a serious tournament for U.S. men's soccer. It starts tomorrow night against Honduras. I'm taking a week off, not this week, but next week. And the idea around it was I could get to an elimination game in the Gold Cup. So I'm actually going up to the D.C. Baltimore area to watch Team USA hopefully advance to the semifinals of the Gold Cup here in a couple weeks. But For me, it's pretty easily men's soccer.
The unfriendliest soccer.
That's right. This is a real tournament, baby.
It's the unfriendliest soccer. For me, it's probably the British Open at St. Andrews. My I prefer watching the U.S. Open to any golf tournament except when the British Open is at St. Andrews. And then that, to me, is the epitome of golf. I would play St. Andrews so much quicker than I'd play Augusta National, given the chance to play either one of them. Probably because I know I'll never get the chance to play Augusta National, but I would play St. Andrews and Pebble Beach would be the two bucket list courses for me. So that would be tops on my list. And, of course, every day that you get a chance to view the first place New York Yankees, Tony, is a great day there with the basically Mr. America, Alex Rodriguez, continuing to be a shining example for the youth of our nation.
He's a feel-good story.
He is a feel-good story. God bless that guy. He's
misunderstood.
He's gritty. He's spunky. Not a lot of natural ability. He just kind of gets by.
America loves an overachiever.
Slap one of the opposite field. Do what you can, A-Rod. Tony, today, the Tom Bush Family Dealership's Fan Feedback Spotlight asked folks, what are you most looking forward to between now and football season? And they said what?
Mercifully, nobody else mentioned the Yankees. From T-Mock, the Open at St. Andrews, great drama, watching the world's best battle the conditions at the home of golf. That would probably be number two on my list. From Irish Jaguar, the start of football preseason. From Christoph, the 2015 Rugby World Cup. I actually looked it up. It actually starts in September, so it's not technically between now and the football season, but we'll get the shout out there.
By the
way,
all you Euros who had a nice consolation match at the Women's World Cup, I really wish we had some Jaguars Today callers from Japan that I could get on their case today. But unfortunately,
we haven't had Japan.
I don't think we've had the Pacific Rim covered all that much on this.
No,
program,
we had Australia.
But yeah, we did have Australia.
We definitely had Australia.
We had, what else did we have? We
South
had Slovenia.
America. Yeah, Slovenia.
Brazil. Yeah, of course, Ireland, England.
Yeah.
There you go. Canada.
So,
okay.
Asia, Africa.
We had Canada?
We're looking out. Asia, Africa. Bring it on.
Do they have working phones in Mexico right now? I don't know. I've never been to Mexico. You hear horror stories about drug cartels run amok in
from
Mexico.
Time to time, yes, you do.
What else we got?
From Eric, the British Open and PGA are what I'm looking forward to the most. Football will be here soon. And from Cristiano, the World Snail Racing Championship. And I looked that up, too. It is an event that is held each July, so it's coming
that's
up.
That's not a friendly, is it? That's,
no.
That's a real competition?
This is real competitors competing for real money.
Real? Now, who are the athletes here? The snails would be considered the athletes?
The snails are the athletes.
Because nobody calls the jockey the athlete in horse race.
Well, nobody's riding the snail.
I understand that. But my point being that, ESPN named Secretariat, I think, what, the fourth greatest athlete of the 20th century? That's stupid. That's just dumb. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a horse, for goodness sakes.
No, it is
horse
dumb.
Horse racing aficionados
hate me,
love
I
that.
Guess.
Yeah.
I don't care. I stop it. It's a horse.
According to my Google research, the winning snail last year was named Wells. He was trained by Zeben Butler Aldred, who is 5 years old from London, England.
He's five.
Five.
Oh,
he competed the course in 3 minutes and 19 seconds.
I just, if you're 5 years old.
Apparently it was hot that day. A slow time for the snails.
If you're a 5-year-old snail trainer, you're a little young badass, okay? If you're anything over, say, a 13-year-old snail trainer, you're a person who is in serious need of perspective on your life.
Sure.
And some new hobbies, I think. But good for young 5-year-old snail trainers out there. Anything else?
That's it.
We good? Thank mercifully. We are done. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships bringing you the Fan Feedback Spotlight. Tom Bush Family of Dealerships featuring Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush BMW, and Tom Bush Mini. Check out TomBush.com for more information the next time you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle. Johnny O, the name of the show is Jaguars Today. Didn't do a whole lot of Jaguars today. But I know you got the Ozone.
As always, tomorrow.
Daily Ozone out there.
Daily Ozone and Jaguars.com live on the website on Wednesday. At 1. So
you and JP, any guests lined up for that ahead of time?
Not
do we know?
Yet. I know. It's a little bit of a catch-as-catch-can week. We got to figure out who's in and who's available. But we'll be talking Jags at 1:00 on Wednesday.
You can't miss it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
There he goes, John Osier on Twitter, simply at John Osier. And, of course, you read him on the digital pages of Jaguars.com. All right, for Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Lauren Brooks, who made the program by mention today, with the most ridiculous point of view that 2-0 is the most dangerous lead in soccer. She stands by that wrong opinion. And for Joe Fortunato, for Josh Carney, I'm Mike Dempsey. That does it for Jaguars today. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor. And we'll say hello to XL Primetime coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.